This segment is really about the health of the open internet and what the community is doing to protect it. And there are several stories that speak to that theme today. The EU Court VPN ruling is probably the most legally significant. The ruling came in a copyright case involving the Anne Frank Foundation, and the court held explicitly that VPNs are lawful technical tools. This might sound obvious, but having a high court affirm it in a copyright context is actually meaningful. There have been legislative pushes in several EU member states to compel ISPs to block VPN services that are used to circumvent geographic content restrictions.
The business implications here run in two directions. For VPN providers, this is a protective ruling that makes aggressive enforcement actions against VPN services much harder to sustain under EU law. For content rights holders, who were hoping to use copyright litigation as a lever to restrict VPN access, this closes a meaningful avenue. The Anne Frank Foundation case is an interesting context for this ruling. Digital rights to historical and archival material are a genuinely contested space, and the court's reasoning about technical tool neutrality may have broader application.
Codeberg's proposed terms of use change is a smaller story by engagement numbers, 34 points. But the concept is genuinely interesting. Codeberg is an open source code hosting platform, a bit like a community governed GitHub alternative. Their proposed change would prohibit what they're calling LLM extrusions. Essentially, using their platform as a data source specifically to extract training material for large language models. The HN thread had a philosophical debate about whether this is enforceable, whether it violates open source principles, and whether it's even detectable.
The enforceability question is real. If your code is publicly licensed under MIT or Apache, anyone is technically free to use it in ways consistent with that license. And it's not obvious that a terms of service overlay can restrict a use that an OSI-approved license explicitly permits. The tension is between the spirit of open source contribution, sharing code for other developers to use and build on, and the reality that large-scale automated ingestion for model training feels categorically different to many contributors.
Free Inc. as a project is tackling a different kind of openness problem. E-readers have become remarkably closed devices. Kindle runs a proprietary ecosystem with tight DRM, and most other e-readers have similar constraints. Free Inc. is positioning itself as an open ecosystem for e-ink devices, which could cover everything from open firmware to marketplace alternatives to standardized formats that work across devices. The HN discussion noted that e-ink hardware has actually gotten quite capable, better contrast, faster refresh rates, color options, while the software ecosystem has remained relatively stagnant because the dominant player has no incentive to open things up.
There's a business model question at the heart of Free Inc. Amazon's Kindle hardware is sold at thin or negative margins because the value is in lifetime book and subscription purchases. An open ecosystem that lets readers buy from any store breaks that model. The question is whether enough readers care about that trade-off to build a viable alternative ecosystem, or whether convenience lock-in is too strong.
The USB drive encrypted vault project, the Rootkit Labs post about building a secure USB drive with a hidden encrypted vault, is a nice example of hardware security exploration that resonates with the HN community. The implementation apparently uses a partition scheme where the encrypted volume isn't visible without the correct unlock sequence, which provides some protection against casual physical inspection. The comments had a healthy discussion about threat modeling. This is great for protecting against a stolen drive scenario, less useful against a sophisticated adversary with physical access and forensic tools.
And then there's late.h, described as a command line clubhouse for computer people. The concept is audio chat rooms accessible from the terminal, which is a product pitch that is almost perfectly targeted at the HN audience. 204 points and 70 comments suggests genuine interest. The parallel to Clubhouse is useful context. Clubhouse had a moment in 2020 to 21 as audio-first social networking, then faded as the novelty wore off. Late.h is betting that the problem with Clubhouse wasn't the audio-first concept. It was that the audience wasn't the right one, and the interface wasn't frictionless enough for the people who would actually use it daily.